right to work with them to get a harmonious feel, you know, what we could do for them and what they, you know, and give them a place to come. It all broke down whenever we had a call between Ms. Smith, Ms. Murphy, and myself, and they asked us to have our guests stop using the pool. That's on Fieldstone, I believe. When we first started renting out there, the association had asked us not to market the clubhouse or the pool that's up there because owners like to use that, so we don't even market that. When I stated that, you know, our guests are allowed to use the amenities, then that's kind of where everything broke down. So we were in contact with many of the residents before then. Since the process started, we continue to cooperate with the HOA to make sure that all our guests are aware of the rules of the association. Each of our guests is required to sign a copy of the rules prior to receiving their confirmation with directions and entry instructions. Recently, the association requested a copy that each agreement signed by our guests be delivered to them for every rental that we have. We comply with that. When a guest is not in compliance with the rules or the resident's interpretation of the rules, for instance, the parking, the HOA rules, and I know you're not here to enforce that, but the HOA rules state that people can park on the streets up to 24 hours, temporary parking. But we don't even let our guests do that. We tell them that they can't be on the streets. And usually the reports that we get are people that are, like Marie said, they're unloading. But then there's constantly somebody there to take photos and send it to the HOA. When the HOA contacts us, we respond. Last two examples that I have were from 2:50 last Friday, that the guest at 1:30 Logano had two grills on the driveway next to the garage, contacted the guest. They were on the way back to the rental. They moved the grills inside. I had one of my operations supervisors drive by. At 4:26, the girls were inside. I notified the HOA. That same day at 2:48, she notified us that a resident complained because there was an awning at 157 North Tuscany that was askew, and that the issue had actually been elevated to the management company corporate headquarters in San Diego. So we went to the property, couldn't find that the awning was damaged. We retracted the awning, notified the HOA within 2 hours. We went back out after the guest that was there had left, tightened up a screw, and can I go ahead and give you photos and everything now if I haven't given them to Scott prior? This is a photo of the complaints that we're getting. That's the
10 seconds, Barb.
Okay. And then I'd also like to address the parking situation. Here are photos of five cars parked in the garage and the driveway there. You'll see there are two cargo vans, a Jeep Grand Cherokee. I've got a Buick Skylark, and then another smaller car. So. Okay.
All right. Thank you, Barb.
All right.
The applicant, Lisa.
Okay. I think the original problem started when the Planning and Zoning Committee took on 20 applications that were incomplete and did not fully understand what they were approving. The application should never have been forwarded to the Planning and Zoning Commission per the letter from Russ Chenowick, which you have in your packet. Granting of permits violates numerous Taney County provisions, including buffers, and the use of any property being used for any purpose other than that for which it was originally approved. Two legal opinions were paid for by the county that stated nightly rentals were never approved in the original subdivision maps. The Planning and Zoning Committee ignored that. Specifically, the application for 112 North Tuscany did not provide a buffer zone, floor plan, parking plan, or compliance letter with the local fire district. The application erroneously stated that the villa consisted of three bedrooms and 1,891 square feet. I own a villa. I, too, was deceived when I purchased my villa that it was 1,891 square feet. I have a personal appraisal that shows this unit is 1,627 square feet. If you look at the Beacon records for both 110 and 112, they clearly state these properties are 1,600 square feet. In addition, Jim Single, Assistant Chief for Western Taney County Fire Protection District, stated in an email to Susan Smith and Chris Burnt, who is the chief, that lofts do not meet the planning and zoning definition of a bedroom, so should not be used for that purpose. There are no operational windows in that loft. It was intended for a media room. I use mine for a sewing studio. They were never intended for twin beds for children to be sleeping. If there's a fire on the stairs, those children will die. The compliance certificate from the Western Taney County Fire Protection District does not state a maximum occupancy requirement. Therefore, we must rely on two bedrooms, which limits this unit to six people, not 10, as advertised by Sunset Nightly Rentals. If they want to pick it apart and go for the maximum, we can use the 1,600 square feet, and at any time, the maximum that the fire district will approve is eight individuals, 200 square feet per person. 1,627 divided by 200 tells me that only eight people are allowed in that unit. As previously stated, the rental program ceased over 6 years ago and did not provide for owners to rent their villas outside of the program. Specifically, the rules state, can I rent my unit myself? No, this is prohibited under the management and rental pool agreement. This unit is being taxed by the Taney County assessor at the commercial rate, which would indicate it is being used as a commercial property. A for-profit business is being conducted, and therefore a buffer would be required. There is no firewall between the units, and per Chris Burnt, Fire Deputy Chief of Western Taney County Fire Protection District, the response time to Branson Creek would be approximately 20 to 25 minutes. In that 20 minutes, the neighbor next door is in flames as well. The applicant states that they have converted this unit to a four-bedroom villa. However, they have not resubmitted to the Planning and Zoning Board. I believe the change would require a resubmission to P&Z and a change in original use, which would then require a fire suppression system. The county does not currently have a zoning enforcement officer as required by the Missouri Revised Statutes, Chapter 64, Section 64.291, and dated August 28th, a copy of which is in your packet. Jimmy Russell, County Sheriff, has indicated to us that he does not have the resources to police violations. The Planning and Zoning Commissioners have become hostile because we have done our homework. They went through 20 applications that should never have been submitted. If they would have, they would have seen that these were lofts, that they aren't two-bedroom, that they're not 1,800 square feet, that they cannot provide adequate parking. The realtors that have talked about how well-vetted their people are never there when these people get here. And if they're advertising for 10, you can rest assured they're packing 14 or 15 in there. They're not greeting them at the door. I've had a nightly rental next to me. There's a key box, and they come marching in one after the other. These folks have no idea who is coming in and out of those properties. As an owner next to a former nightly rental and now a weekend rental, I respectfully ask that you rescind their nightly permit. Thank you.
Do you guys have any?
As the applicant, we may ask you some questions.
Right ahead.
Okay. Do you guys have any questions? I saw the in Sandra's package where the Prevention Division Assistant Chief Jim Single said that they could not, that the loft did not meet the use for bedrooms.
Here's a copy of his email.
Well, part of the requirements for approval for a D3 is they have to have a compliance certificate from the fire department. So if the fire department isn't going to grant the compliance certificate, they can't get their D3 permit with it.
They should have, from my understanding, that should have been with the original packet. The original
packet. No, it says they have 120 days to get that compliance. Is that correct, Scott?
No, the 120 days is to record your decision of record.
So the and compliance, then recently the compliance added, certificate needs to be in the original application? Is that correct?
It's supposed to be.
That is in the part of the nightly rental under special use, if they've already gotten the fire department's compliance, which I have one coming through that has, then they can submit that, and they don't have to go to the fire department, central or Taney.
If they don't have that.
If they don't have that, then they get the compliance after they get the approval.
And that's the question I have, is how long do they have to provide that compliance letter?
Well, before we, the Planning Commission put the 120 days
That's what
to
I
get the compliance, there was not a timeline. It caused the problem. But, there really
but now
was
for
no the, timeline.
For these particular applications, they have 120 days. Is that correct?
Not the first original ones. No.
These two that they're appealing right now
right.
that were approved?
Right.
They don't have 120?
No, their timeline was not added onto their decision of record. They had 120 days to record their decision of record, which they could have done the next week.
Okay.
And then there was really no timeline to get your compliance finished. And after those first few, then the Planning Commission has added the 120 days to get your CFC, or you will cease operation as it has been. And if you haven't ever operated your house as a nightly rental and you come through, you cannot start renting it until you get your CFC. So it's up to them if they haven't been renting it, but it's 120 days if they have been.
Barb, I'm going to direct a question to you. You mentioned fire suppression was completed on one and anticipated on one.
With this particular unit, I have the sign-offs. I believe it's probably in the packet that I submitted last month before we, because this unit had been a continuous rental since, I believe, 2008, and the Western Taney County Code came into existence in 2012 with a new one. We weren't required to have fire suppression.
Do you have a compliance certificate from the fire department?
That's what I'm asking. Yes, we have to go through the complete process with this. So we have a certificate of compliance in regard to the bedrooms, if you don't mind. Scott, and also I have a letter in there that you should
fire.
Have from Jim Single, or an email from Jim Single stating that the loft is fine as far as the square footage, and our occupancy of 10 is fine with Western Taney County.
Okay, thank you.
I'd like to recount that because she was using 1,800 square feet. And the Western Taney County sign-off has no occupancy on it. So who are we to go with? That's a problem. That's a problem from the get-go because the board did not look at the information. Had the applications been complete, like they should have been, according to your guidance code, we might not be here tonight.
So that would have changed the maximum number of people?
It would have changed the entire outcome because they were required to have information that they didn't have. They should never have been submitted.
The information that was submitted was incorrect
in
terms of the square footage.
Incomplete and incorrect, yes, because they did not have floor plans. They did not have parking outlines. They didn't have half of what your guidance code states is supposed to be presented to the Planning and Zoning Committee.
We don't require floor plans because we don't have a building code. We require an overview sketch.
It's in the guidance code.
An overview sketch, but no floor plans because there's no building code in Taney County. Yep. I got an example of a 5-site plan. This is what our normal site plan looks like that we get in. If it's an existing building, there's usually a beacon overview put in because all we have are setbacks. If they're building a house and going to use it for nightly rental, they would present something like this that would show how many feet off the front property line, how many feet off the side property line. We never receive a floor plan because theoretically we have no jurisdiction to regulate how that house is built.
Can you bring that up?
I could find it. These are the ones that require Division 1 permits. It says a diagram showing lot lines, dimension, locates of access structures, and distance from each lot line, item B, for which the structure, the permit is intended.
I believe that states Division One permit application requirements.
That's
we're talking about a Division Three. If Appendix B, you're reading under, states Division
right.
One.